Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And welcome to everyone this wonderful Shabbat to our second service this evening. People are a little older at this service, and we're delighted that you're all here to share Shabbat together. We want to welcome Levi to the front row. She has waited patiently for her turn, and she is so very, very ready, and we are so very proud of you. So welcome, and Mazel Tov, and welcome to the whole entourage. We're so glad you're here. I remember when she was a little girl falling asleep on somebody's lap and saying, oh my goodness, someday there's going to be a bat mitzvah. So we're very excited, very, very excited. And we welcome all the grandparents and aunts and uncles and all the people who are here sharing the weekend. We're thrilled that you're here. We welcome all those who have joys to share, those of you who have come for birthday and anniversary blessings. We welcome those who have come to pray for healing for loved ones, and we all are praying for healing for our members tonight. And we welcome those who have come for Yahrzeits, the moments of memory that make Shabbat even more sacred for every family. We welcome everyone who's here for Aldra's conversion later this evening. We are so, so happy. Mazel Tov. And we are very grateful to the Helitzers for bringing you to us. So we look forward to that later this evening. And an extra special welcome to our guest speaker this evening, Mark Hetfield. It is such an honor. Next week, he's going to be at the Rabbinic Convention, so I have the pleasure of hearing him twice. But I just want you to know what an amazing honor this is for our congregation. We welcome Mark and his wife, Miriam, to the congregation this evening. And I know as we have been dialoguing, this has been something that has been very important for many members of our congregation. After services, we'll take a brief oneg, and then there'll be a group having a discussion about tonight's sermon in our usual adult ed fashion in the library, and then there'll be a group in the sanctuary for the conversion tonight. So the evening will continue. It's going to just continue, but we will give you oneg sustenance in the middle. I am honored tonight to say thank you to our wonderful Brad Stein for the amazing gifts of music that just come out of his fingers without any musical sheets. That it's music that comes from his head and his heart straight through his fingers. And as you listen to the podcast, I was good tonight. I made sure to record every single note. So I will tell you, no matter what, listen to this podcast so that you can have spirituality and brilliance all in one evening. We're delighted that you're all here. Our opening song this Shabbat, our next opening song this Shabbat is Shalom Aleichem, as we welcome everybody, including the angels of Shabbat on page 10.
La 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 la
Shabbat begins when we gather together, and we are delighted to bring the candle lighting in and welcome Shabbat as we welcome Levi and her mother Sarah and her beautiful grandmothers Bonnie and Jean to light the Shabbat candles for us. Page 12.
Before we take part in old age tradition of lighting the candles, let us first take a moment to reflect on the meaning of the Sabbath. All week long, we work hard and strive to excel. Most of the time, we don't even have a chance to stop and look back at our accomplishments. Shabbat is our time to take a break from the rest of the week, to pause and collect the thoughts that we've been too busy to think about. Most importantly, Shabbat is our opportunity to become whole in mind and spirit as we take time to reflect on our lives.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu l'hadlik nel shel Shabbat.
Blessed are you, O Lord, Adonai, our God, ruler of the universe, who makes us holy with your mitzvot and commands us to kindle the lights of the Sabbath. Amen.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu l'hadlik ner shel Shabbat. The deeply God Tokemune, I'm single.
On page 17. You cause day to pass and bring on the night. You set day and night apart. You are the God of all. May the living and eternal God rule us always until the end of time. Blessed is the eternal whose word makes evening fall. We continue as we remain standing for the Shema on page 22.
Adonai, Echad, Shemai.
ואהבתה את אדוני אלוהיך בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך. והיו הדברים האלה אשר אנוכי מצבך היום על לבבך, ושיננתם לבניך ודיברת בם, ושיבתך בביתך ובלכתך בדרך ובשכבך ובקומך, וקשרתם לאות על ידך, והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובישריך, למען תזכרו ועשיתם את כל מצוותיי, והייתם קדושים לאלוהיכם. אני אדוני אלוהיכם, אשר הוצאתי אתכם מארץ מצרים, להיות לכם לאלוהים. אני אדוני אלוהיכם. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Set these words which I command you this day upon your heart. Teach them faithfully to your children. Speak of them in your home and on your way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your hand. Let them be a symbol before your eyes. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Be mindful of all my mitzvot and do them. So shall you consecrate yourselves to your God. I, the Lord, am your God, who led you out of Egypt to be your God. I, the Lord, am your God.
Mi kamocha nehedar ba'kodesh, Nora, tefillin, Nor, Osei Peleh. Mi kamocha ba'idim Adonai, mi kamocha nehedar ba'kodesh, mi kamocha ba'idim Adonai, mi kamocha nehedar ba'kodesh, Nora.
The people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. Observing the Sabbath in every generation is a covenant for all time. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel. For in 6 days the eternal God made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day God rested and was refreshed. Adonai, Adonai, Adonai.
את השמיים ואת הארץ ושמרו בני ישראל את השבת לעשות את השבת לדורות המרים עולם וביום השביעי שבת ונפש Shabbat vayinafash, Shabbat vayinafash, Vishamru b'nei Yisrael, et ha-Shabbat, la'asot et ha-Shabbat, le'dorot ha-merik olam, Vishamru
Continue with the centerpiece of our worship service, the Tefillah, on page 29. You may rise when you are ready. Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, Elohei Sarah, Elohei Rivka, Elohei Rachel, Elohei Leah, Ha'el Hagadol, Hagibur Vahanora, El Elyon, Gomel Hasadim Tovim, Vikone Hakol, Vizocher Chastei Avot V'imahot, Umevig Ula Livnei Vnehem, Lama'an Shemo B'Ahava, Melech Ozer Umoshia Umagin, Baruch Ata Adonai, Magin Avraham V'Ezrat Sarah. And we continue with the reading on the top of page 30. This is one of Levi's favorites. It's on the cover of her prayer book. Me, my family, the Jewish people, and Torah, a tree of life, roots holding on to the past, branches reaching to the future, leaves dancing like children, growing and changing with the seasons, teaching peace, caring, sharing, tolerance, understanding, from parent to child, from generation to generation. Ata gibor le'olam Adonai, Michaye Hakol Ata Rav Lahushia. Michalkel Chaim Bechesed. Michaye Hakol Berachamim Rabim. Somech Noflim Verofe Cholim. Umatir Asurim. Umekayem Emunato Lishene Afar. Micha Mocha Baal Givurot. Umi Domelach. Melech Meimit Umachaye. Umatzmiach Yeshua. V'ne'eman ata lahachayot hakol, baruch ata Adonai, mechaye hakol. Eternal is your might, O God. All life is your gift. Great is your power to save. In love you sustain the living. In your great mercy you give life to all. You send help to the falling and healing to the sick. You bring freedom to the captive and keep faith with your children in death as in life. Who is like you, Almighty God? Who is your equal, author of life and death, source of salvation? Blessed is the eternal God, the source of life. The bottom of page 32. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzvaot, Malocho Haaretz Kevodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with your glory. You may be seated. The bottom of page 34. As the Sabbath descends, it enfolds us in its mantle of peace. It brings to us the precious gift of time. Time to embrace family and friends, to reflect more deeply on the meaning and purpose of our lives, and to worship the beauty of holiness. May every Shabbat be a sanctuary of love and devotion, bringing contentment to our hearts, happiness to our homes, and blessings to our people and all humanity. Jews have always yearned and worked for a world of peace. A world in which every inhabitant can live safe and free, loved and cared for. It is the well-being of every human being on earth for which we pray as we sing together our prayer for peace, Sim Shalom, page 40. Thank you. The Torah calls this month of Nisan the first of months. And even though weather.com maybe does not necessarily agree, Nisan does officially begin the spring season, Jewishly. So soon we should be able to put those down coats away. Our tapestry for Nisan in the front features our people leaving a place of oppression and persecution and slavery for freedom. So we bless tonight this new month of spring, the month of Nisan, which begins this evening. According to our calendar, the new month of Nisan begins tonight. Our God and God of our fathers and mothers, let the coming month bring us renewed goodness and blessing. May it bring us joy and gladness, health and comfort, support and sustenance, life and peace. A life exalted by love of your Torah and devotion to your service. A life in which our heart's desires are fulfilled for good. O wondrous God, who in ancient days led our people from bondage to freedom, redeem us now out of our exile from one another, making all Israel one united people. May it be a month of goodness for us and for all Israel. God of holiness, let the new month bring for us and for the whole house of Israel life and peace, joy and happiness, deliverance and comfort, and let us say amen. Page 45. On the back cover of your service booklet, is not just a list of names, but the list of loved ones, family members, friends in need of our prayers, our concern. May this time of spring and rebirth in the natural world bring health and healing and renewal to all of those who we care about, who are in need of emotional or physical healing. We pray for them with Misha Berach on the top of page 45. Of our hearts.
To our congregation. Mark and I met in the lobby this evening, but when you're introducing someone you've never met, you read their bio very carefully. And I realized that Mark would feel very much at home here at Temple B'nai Shalom because he's a Hoya! BSFS Georgetown NJD. I married a BSFS from Georgetown, and I gave birth to a JD from Georgetown, so you belong here. We are delighted to welcome you to our congregation tonight. For those who did not read Mark's bio in the weekly email, let me just give you a glimpse of the man who will be speaking to us this evening. Working for Immigration and Naturalization Service, Mark was posted in 1994 to Haiti at a very difficult time. He was a senior advisor on refugee issues at the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, where he directed a congressionally authorized study on the treatment of asylum seekers. He is an award winner in the field of refugee protection and the advancement of human rights. As a highest caseworker in Rome, he assisted Jews from the former Soviet Union and helped them. And he's had an illustrious 25-year career with HIAS prior to becoming its president and CEO. I have known about HIAS my whole life because it was one of the organizations that my bubby had a pushka for in her apartment in Brooklyn. HIAS is the world's oldest and only Jewish global refugee agency, and I've been supporting HIAS my entire life in my bubby's honor. Mark is the preeminent voice of American Jewish communities, outspoken love and support of refugee and immigration issues. To be a voice for those who have no voice is such an important thing in Judaism, and Mark is that voice. An expert in refugee and immigration law, policy, and programs, Mark has led HIAS in its major transformation in recent times. Not just an organization that has a history of helping Jewish refugees around the globe, but today a global agency assisting refugees of all faiths and identities. Tonight he speaks to us on welcoming the stranger, seeing the global refugee crisis through a Jewish lens. It is my pleasure to welcome Ahoya to our Bima.
Shabbat Shalom. It is great to be here. I didn't know there were so many Hoyas among us, so that's important. How many people before had heard of HIAS? Okay, that's pretty good. And is there anybody here who was directly helped by HIAS? Yes, where from? Oh, Hungary? 1956 or 57? Did you go to New Jersey, Camp Kilmer? No? Okay. Okay, great. Anybody else? Yeah, where from? Latvia. Oh, Latvia? What year did you come? 1990 through Rome? Oh, great. Yeah, I was there. I was in Rome 1989 and 1990. Anybody else? All right. So I'll say a little bit about Hias first. And I'll talk right now about Hias and our history. And then tonight, after the Oneg, for those of you who are night owls, we can talk about, I can answer any questions you have about refugees today and refugee issues today. Because right now we are facing the biggest refugee crisis than we have at any time in history. There are more displaced persons today than there ever have been. We surpassed the displacement numbers from World War II about 3 years ago. But Hias was started in 1881, and we were named the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. Which isn't really descriptive of what we do now or even what we did then in terms of the meaning of the words. Back then, there was no such thing in U.S. law as a refugee. Anybody who came to this country was simply an immigrant, and an immigrant, as you know, is somebody who just moves from one country to another. A refugee is someone who flees from one country to another. They're fleeing persecution, fleeing anti-Semitism, fleeing persecution because of what they believe or what they look like or what their nationality is, what social group they're in. And we were really founded as a refugee agency because in 1881, there were pogroms, basically ethnic cleansing, or you could even say, even though the word did not exist then, a genocide against Jews that was going on in the Russian Empire. There was a campaign some characterize it as kill a third of the Jews, convert a third of the Jews, and get a third of the Jews to leave. And in fact, many Jews did leave. From 1881 to 1921, the American Jewish community grew from about 250,000 to over 3 million people. And Hias was there in Castle Garden first, which was the predecessor to Ellis Island in New York, and then on Ellis Island to make sure that the Jewish refugees coming in got past the immigration authorities, were not turned back for being a possible public charge or for health reasons. We made sure they were fed kosher meals while they were waiting to get in. We gave them a shelter once they got off of Castle Garden or off of Ellis Island. And in fact, for those of you who know New York, our shelter for many, many decades was the Joseph Papp Public Theater. And there's now a plaque there, but that was our shelter and headquarters for a long time. And we'd give them onward transportation to other cities from New York. One thing we really tried to do, because New York was so crowded and expensive, was get as many Jews as possible out of New York and get them to other places. So we assisted with that. But the bottom line is that the very existence of the American Jewish community is owed to those times when America had opened its doors to refugees. Now, it wasn't an easy time. There was plenty of anti-Semitism back then, plenty of xenophobia, plenty of prejudice against these Jewish refugees. In fact, there was, for example, in 1908, the city of New York police commissioner released a report on crime in New York City. And in the report, it actually said that 50% of all crimes in New York were committed by Jews. In fact, it was the real number was 16%. But that didn't make it into the news. The story was half of all crimes are committed by Jews, who constituted 25% of the population at that time. The community had to react by starting a morals commission to try to seem like it was proactive in terms of getting ourselves to act better. But this is the type of prejudice we were often faced with. Jews were conceived of as being Bolsheviks and anarchists and socialists and unassimilable religious fanatics. And this created a lot of issues. And ultimately, in 1921, this opened door policy that America had for immigrants was all immigrants except Asians, I should say, was closed with the Emergency Quota Act of 1921. This is something that made Hyas's job really tough because there were discriminatory quotas that were instated that shut our doors to most refugees and immigrants. Required visas for the first time before you could get on a boat to come to the United States. Nationality quotas were instated that were deliberately and openly discriminatory, meant to limit the amount of immigration from Eastern Europe and Southern Europe, really directed against Jewish and Italian immigration. This was an Emergency Quota Act, and it was, you can understand the environment that caused it to be enacted by Congress, because this was after the U.S. had finally left World War I. We were sick and tired of having to deal with Europe's problems, and refugees and immigrants were identified as with those problems, and we didn't want to be bringing those problems from over there to over here. So this was meant to be a temporary measure to prevent that from happening. And the Emergency Quota Act of 1921 was only supposed to last 1 year. But in fact, it lasted 44 years. It was not. It lasted through the rise of power of the Nazis, through the enactment of the Nuremberg Laws, through Kristallnacht, through the Second World War and the Holocaust. And so, as a result, many other countries followed our lead, and Hyas couldn't get Jewish refugees to safety, really. In the U.S., in Australia, in Canada, in any of the traditional countries of immigration. So we had to start operations in places like Shanghai and South America, places to bring Jews to try to live safely. But there were not nearly enough places. It was almost impossible to flee because there was no right to flee back then. There was no international law or international treaty that prevented a country from sending refugees back to places where they would be killed. And this is why people like Anne Frank and her family were forced to hide. They just simply had no way out. Although Hyas did try to represent Anne Frank, we still have her file, her family's file. Otto Frank tried very hard for many, many years to reunite with his wife's brothers who lived in Boston. Who managed to flee just after Kristallnacht, but of course he was not successful, and we know how that story ended. But in 1948, things really changed for the better for us, for Hyas, for our mission. Two things happened. One was the establishment of the State of Israel. So finally, Jews had a place to go to. For the previous 67 years, we didn't have such a place. And the second was the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, where finally the right to flee, was the right to seek and enjoy asylum, was recognized. And this led later to the 1951 Convention for Refugees. Now, Hyas was still largely focused on Jews for the next 60 years, Jewish refugees, because unfortunately there continued to be plenty of those. We focused on resettlement to the United States, to Israel. We were operational in countries where the Jewish Agency for Israel could not act, such as Tunisia and Morocco. And we were in the displaced persons camps in Europe throughout the 1950s. We were in helping Jews get out of Hungary in 1956, Jews get out of Cuba after 1959. And then in around 1970, we assisted, once again, as we did at the beginning of our history, hundreds of thousands of Jews, Russian-speaking Jews, leave the former Soviet Union to come to a life where they could find religious freedom in the United States. But then things started to change. There were no longer Jews trapped behind an iron curtain. There were very few Jews who could not get out, and of course those Jews who did were able to go to Israel. So we were able to pivot to help other faiths and ethnicities. We were able to go from being an organization that helped refugees because they were Jewish to an organization that helped refugees because we are Jewish. We opened up operations in Ecuador, Ukraine, Chad, Venezuela, Panama, Greece, and Costa Rica. And we continue to resettle refugees throughout the United States in partnership with Jewish family service agencies around the country. By 2006, a majority of the refugees we were resettling were not Jewish. I'd like to say that we've gone from our Exodus period to our Leviticus period. We've gone from a period when it was we who were fleeing to a period where we take what we learned from that and we apply it to helping others. It's not a coincidence that the commandment to love the stranger or welcome the stranger is repeated more often than any other commandment in the Torah. More than 36 times it's repeated. This isn't because it's the most important commandment. It's because refugees don't pull well. Refugees are not popular. They never have been, and they probably never will be, because they are the other. There's something that many people fear. And so apparently the God decided it was worth a lot of repetition to try to drill into us that we have to love the stranger as ourselves. I think he only talks about not boiling a calf in its mother's milk only once, but 36 times for welcoming the stranger and being kind to the stranger. And Hias, we were doing all this work on behalf of the American Jewish community, helping refugees all around the world. And very few people had heard of us, frankly, including the people we were representing, the American Jewish community. And we are part of the organized American Jewish community, if there is such a thing. But that changed in 2015, in September of 2015, with the photograph of Alon Kurdi, the little Syrian refugee boy whose lifeless body washed up on the beach in Turkey as his family was trying to flee. They had already fled from Syria, and they were now trying to flee from Turkey to Europe. That woke everybody up. It woke up our community. It woke up many communities of faith. It frankly woke up the Obama administration, which had not really been paying attention to the refugee crisis for the previous 6 years. And so it finally really engaged our community in protecting refugees to an extent that it really had not been since the crisis in the Soviet Jewry crisis. And that's something we really hope to sustain. I guess close to just tell one story about a refugee who's a good personal friend of mine and kind of an inspiration as to why we do the work that we do. And this is Manny Lindenbaum. I go biking with this guy all the time. Every year we go on a bicycle trip. We just went to San Antonio in Austin, Texas. But Manny is now 85 years old. He was born in Unna, Germany, one of three children. And he had a normal childhood for a few years. But then his brother Siegfried, his older brother, started getting beaten up in school on a regular basis. His parents, his mother in particular, would complain to the principal, who said there's nothing he could do about it. And then his father's business, it was a store in Unna, was boycotted, of course, because it was owned by Jews. And then eventually the family was rounded up along with all the other Jews in town and put on a train and deported on Shabbat from Germany to Poland. I mean, they were all born in Germany, but at that time, if you were of Polish descent, you were deported, if you were Jewish, into Poland. And they then, they lived on the border for a long time with many other refugees from Germany, but then when it became clear that an invasion of Germany was about to happen, invasion by Germany into Poland, they fled north. And it was, of course, total mayhem. But there was a man who was gathering children and saying, you know, I can bring these kids to England on a kinder transport. And so Manny's mother pushed the three kids, Manny and his brother Siegfried and his sister Anna, into the hands of this guy. And she then just kind of turned away and walked away. And Manny said he never saw his mother again, and it took him decades to forgive her for doing that. But that saved his life. They went on the kinder transport on a boat that was bound for England. And the problem is, Anna was 14 years old, and she was told, "You're too old, you have to get off the boat." They were only taking kids, and she was no longer considered to be a child. So she was reunited with her parents, and they were sent to Auschwitz, and they were murdered. But Manny and Siegfried made it to England and were taken in by a Christian family. And ultimately, Manny was brought to the United States by Hyas and reunited with his aunt and uncle in Toms River, New Jersey, where they were chicken farmers. There were many Jewish chicken farmers back then in that part of New Jersey. But Manny, as I said, it took him decades to forgive his mother for saving his life in that way. He couldn't believe that she pushed him away. But he eventually came to terms with it, and just as his brother was dying, he was finally able to talk about his experience and start talking to schools about the Holocaust and about bullying. And then when he was 81 years old, he decided to go to Europe and with his grandkids and trace his refugee journey backwards from Poland into Germany and cross the border on World Refugee Day. And he did it to raise money for Hyas to support our programs in Chad for our Darfuri children refugees. But there's somebody who really, to me, exemplifies why we do what we do, why it's important for Jews to remember that we were refugees, and that while it's not easy to welcome the stranger or to open up to the other who represents a religion that we may not be familiar with or that we may make assumptions about, it's really important for us to do that, and others will follow our example if we do. So thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
We have chicken farmers from New Jersey in the back of the sanctuary, two of them.
Shores still with sand in our shoes. Homeward bound, survivors in spirit with nothing to lose. We have found a land of life, children of freedom. Sing, freedom must always.
Page 53.
may be seated. Page 57, we read together. We all stand together to remember those whom we have loved and lost, to remember those whose lives were taken because of who they were or what they believed, to remember those who perished in the Holocaust or by acts of terrorism, to remember those who died in service of our country or of our people, to remember those who have no one left to say Kaddish, to remember all their lives and the blessings they brought to the world. We all stand together. At this time in our service, we have the privilege of remembering all those we have loved and lost. During our year of mourning as a congregation, we remember with love our beloved members, Carol Lewis, Ruth Margulies, Yetta Trachtenberg, Susan Feidelman, Sheldon Miller, and Toby Konigsberg. And we mourn the losses in the past 30 days for our members, Michael Siegel, relative of the Copeland family, Dr. Richard Miller, cousin of Leslie Claire Greenberg, my beloved colleague and friend, Rabbi Lynn Landsberg, Patricia Weissman, mother of Rob, Peter Abrahams, cousin of Mark Spector, Florence Konigsberg Brody, aunt of Jim Konigsberg, and we mourn the loss this week of Leona Grubb, beloved aunt of Tammy Stein and great aunt of Mimi Stein. And we remember our beloved members who have died in years past, whose Yahrzeit is part of our family remembrance, Monroe Gross and Ruth Spector. Marilyn, raise your hand. As we mourn the Yahrzeits that fall this Shabbat and this week, Lester Friedman, Mary Berman, Hector Chafino, Anne McDowell, Silik Peleus, Julius Rosenman, Stuart Weiser, Anne Goldman, Eva Berlin, Corey Andy, Helen Odoff, Lorraine Silverstein, Oscar Epstein, Aaron Greenhoff, Louis Levine, Gertrude Lowe, Leonard Miller, Judge Maurice Perlin, George Zausner, Lawrence Strasberg, Laura Edidin, Carol Lichtenberg, Edward Jackson, Joyce Nagy, Grace Christensen, Jonathan Cohen, Edward Morris, Herman Rosen, Jen Basanko, Blossom Cass, Van Hart, Robert Tucholsky, Dr. Herbert Cohn, Ellen Arndt, Abby Werman, Shirley May Slosky, Charles Egber, Susan Grosch, Herta Illis, Bela Cohen. Zichronam Livracha, may each of their precious memories be with us as we take into our hearts all those we have loved and lost, and all those who have no one to remember them. We rise for the Kaddish on page 60. Yitgadal v'yitkadash shemei rabah, v'yalma divra chirutei v'yamlich malchutei, v'chayechon v'yomechon v'chayei d'chol beit Yisrael, v'agala v'zman karif v'yimru amen. Yehei shmei rabba mevorach li'olam omei omaya. Yitbarach v'yishtabach v'yitpa'ar v'yitramam v'yitnase. V'yitadar v'yitale v'yitalal shmei d'kutsha b'richu. Le'ela amin kol birchata v'shirata. Tushbechata v'nechamata. Damiran b'yalma v'yimru amen. Yehei shlama rabba min shemaya. V'chaim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. Ose shalom b'mromav, hu yase shalom. Aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. V'imru, v'imru, v'imru.
Honored to call up to lead Kiddush, a girl whose happy face I love to see come through our TBS doors on Tuesday evenings and on Sunday mornings. She always has that warm smile that is clearly connected to a warm heart, a caring heart. Levi is only just beginning her journey as a Jewish adult, but I know she's someone who will continue to be dedicated to lifelong Jewish learning. I enjoy her curious and inquiring mind and look forward to many years ahead of watching her grow and mature. And we also welcome to the Bima her brother, Jacob, who serves as a wonderful role model of continuing Jewish education after Bar Mitzvah. Kiddush, our show of joy of the day of Shabbat, is found on page 61.
The 7 days consecrated to the Lord our God, with wine, our symbol of joy, we celebrate this day in its holiness. We give thanks for all our blessings, for life and health, for work and rest, for home and love and friendship. On Shabbat, eternal sign of creation, we remember that we are created in the divine image. We therefore raise the cup in thanksgiving. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, barei pri hagafen.
Amen.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishan b'mitzvotav v'ratzavanu, v'shabbat kacho b'ahava uv'ratzon hinchilanu, zikaron l'maaseh v'reishit, ki hu yom techila l'mikre kodesh, zecher l'tziat mitzrayim.
Kivanu b'chavrata, v'yotanu kidashta, mikol ha'amim, v'shabbat kashecha, v'yahava u'ratzon, kinhaltanu, baruch atah Adonai,
seated.
I welcome now to the Bima all those people who have birthdays or anniversaries in this wonderful month of March. Okay, so the Strasburgs are legal, 21. Very nice. The letterers have been married the longest up here tonight, 37, Mazel Tov. And then we have a few 30s, the Greens, the Zelkins, and the Levitts, all 30 years. Come closer, move in, move in, move in. And we have some 25s. Yeah, well, I'll bless you after, but did you forget?
No.
Like, oh, okay.
It's old age.
It's all right. It's okay. Anybody else have an anniversary that I haven't noticed? No, that's good.
Those of you have birthdays, you look younger this year than you looked last year. I don't know if that's possible, Luke. But we wish you mazel tov. We hope and pray that the love that you share for these anniversaries will be with you forever, and that you know that your love and your family life nourishes our community. And for those celebrating birthdays, we wish you health and happiness and love and all good things. And we bless you. Yimarechacha Adonai v'yishmerecha. May God bless you and keep you this Shabbat, this month of celebration, and throughout the coming year. And we say, Amen. Amen. For Gregory and Mina, here's a special certificate for all those years. Greg and Renee, beautiful. And it's so good that Anina's here to see your parents get honored. And Daniel's here so that you brought your children with you. So 25 and 30, we give out special certificates. But for everybody else, we have gifts. So we'll sing together. Rob, Shehapiyanu, while I give out gifts.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam
anniversary, would you like a special blessing? And you said yes, and you deserve it. As a military family, as a committed Jewish family, as a family knowing what it means to be survivors, as a family who passionately loves Israel, and we've traveled there together, as a pomegranate family,
yes.
This moment is very special, because when you have sustained life together, the joys of raising your two beautiful children, all the travel and all the times you were uprooted and rerooted. But this is home, and we, your temple family, are so very grateful that we get to celebrate this anniversary with you. Marriage isn't always easy.
I'm just saying.
No commentary. Marriage isn't always easy, but you always smile, and you always share, and you share values, and you share dreams, and you share a belief that whatever you have been through in the past nurtures you, sustains you, and really energizes you for the time in the future. One of you has not aged since the day I met you, which must mean that your husband is really fantastic.
It's killing me.
And so we say Shehapiyanu, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shehapiyanu V'Kiyamanu V'Hegiyanu Lasman. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has kept these two people in love for 30 years, sustaining them each and every day, and enables them to celebrate their love and their marriage on this, their 30th anniversary. And we all say, Amen. That may be one of, in my career, one of the most dialogue blessings.
You know me, I have to say
that. I do know you.
Thank Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
My name is David Sherrington. I'm the president of Temple B'nai Shalom. So pleased to see everyone here for Shabbat worship. Thank you, Rabbi Perlin and Rabbi Rapport, for leading us in worship this evening. Thank you, Rachel and Rob, for leading us with your beautiful voices and music. And thank you, Brad, for just such a great way to welcome Shabbat. Thank you. Thank you, Mart Hetfield, just for being here with us tonight and for sharing your wisdom and experiences. Just tremendous. Levi, Mazel Tov. Wishing you and your family and friends a wonderful weekend. I know it will be. Women and teens of TBS, please join Sisterhood for Women's Seder with Rabbi Rappaport on this Sunday, March 18th at 4 p.m. The theme this year is Responding to Transitions. Passover begins on Friday, March 30th at sundown, coming up soon. As Passover falls on a Shabbat, we will not be holding services that evening, and there will not be a Minion Maker service on Saturday morning, March 31st. TBS families, please sign up for second night Passover Seder, and there's a form to do so in your service folder tonight. That's on Saturday, March 31st at 5:30. And as you're cleaning out your cupboards or shopping for Passover, please remember our friends at LCAC. They need help each and every week. So in that, we're thinking about Passover. I sort of am thinking that, you know, in our year of transition, this year is not like all other years. So even the way we're going to do announcements is going to switch up. So I'm going to finish my announcements here in the next couple of seconds. But I'm right now going to invite up Neil Seiden, treasurer of Temple B'nai Shalom. He's actually going to, we have such special things coming up, it takes two of us to get all this information out. So let me wrap up and just say, except for everything he's about to say, which is wonderful, if you're new to TBS, welcome here. Well, we welcome everyone here, any strangers, no strangers here tonight. We welcome all of you as friends. If you have any questions or would like more information, members of our board and membership committee would love to speak with you. This evening, our membership committee representative is Marty Sinorski. I think there is Marty. So if you have any questions, please see Marty at Oneg. Wishing you all a very restful weekend. Shabbat Shalom. No side.
Thank you, David. David said that what I'm about to tell you is wonderful, but he doesn't know what I'm about to tell you. So I was asked to speak for a few moments about the events honoring specifically Rabbi Perlin from now through the end of her tenure. And I thought one of the best ways to do this was to try and recount a conversation that David and I had recently. As treasurer, as president, you can imagine we speak about important matters about congregational life frequently. And so we were having a conversation, and I'm going to play a little bit of treasurer report on this. So for those of you who have asked me to sing announcements, this may be the one time you get that. So the tune will be familiar. This is really a two-part thing, but I'm going to sing both parts. Not simultaneously. Yeah. You may question your judgment. So I said to David, "Do you love Rabbi Perlin?" He said, "Do I what? Do you love Rabbi Perlin? Do we love Rabbi Perlin? With school violence on the rise and trouble in this town, you're upset, you want out, you're feeling down. Maybe it's indigestion. David, I'm asking you a question. Do you love Rabbi Perlin? You're a Democrat. I know, but do you love Rabbi Perlin? Do I love Rabbi Perlin? For 32 years, she's prayed with us, laughed with us, cried with us, taught our children, confirmed our kids, married our congregants, fed us Spartans. After 32 years, why ask about love now? The first time I met her was on Yom Kippur Day. I was hungry. I was tired. I was starving. So was I. But everyone said we'd learn to love Rabbi Perlin. So now I'm asking you, David, do you love Rabbi Perlin? I'm your president. I know. But do you love Rabbi Perlin? Do I love Rabbi Perlin? For 32 years, she's been my preacher. I've adored her wisdom. She's my teacher. For 32 years, my temple's hers. If that's not love, what is? Then you love Rabbi Perlin. I suppose I do. And I suppose I love her too. And together, it doesn't change a thing. But after 32 years, it's good to know. We love Rabbi Perlin. So, with that introduction, you have in your service folders this wonderful announcement about the concert, and the whole weekend is going to be fabulous. We're celebrating Rabbi Perlin, as you can tell, until she's no longer our rabbi, but she always will be our rabbi. She's not really going anywhere. By now, all temple members should have received your invitation to the gala. Please get them in early, and if you have seating arrangements, that's opportunity to do that too. We're going to also honor Rabbi Perlin with a very special mitzvah day on Sunday. That's on the weekend. And mark your calendars. She deserves all the love from TBS that we have to offer. Thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Wow. Thank you.
No question that you love me.
I
know. But I think that was our closing song. Yeah. Please rise for the benediction. Eloheinu v'Elohei Dorotenu, our God and God of all the generations that have come before us. You placed in our hearts the ability to help others. You remind us over and over again in the Torah to love the stranger. May we take the words and messages of this Shabbat and make them real in our world. Adonai oz la'amo yiten, Adonai yivarech et amo v'shalom. God gave you strength so you could give strength to others. God blessed your life with peace so you could bring others to peaceful shelter. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.